Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Glad to be in for Sean today. My name is Joe Pagliarulo. Joe Pags. The number the same, 800-941-SEAN, 1-800-941-7326. Let me give you a little insight into what we do in talk radio. We like to entertain people. We like to educate people. We like to talk to people. We like to have a little bit of fun, give you some, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 stories a show. But when something like what happened in Uvalde, Texas happens, you've got to dedicate the proper amount of time because people still don't understand how something like this can happen. So just so you know, and of course, every day, you get a wide variety from Sean. You get entertainment, you get humor, you get direct education, you get real interviews. I try to do the same sort of thing on my show. But it's hard to get away from something like this, so I'm not gonna. I want to talk about the effect of the woke crowd, or the crowd that wants to dismantle the Western nuclear family like Black Lives Matter. That was in their charter, by the way. This is not me making it up. Like the push for the LGBTQ XYZ123 agenda. When things like that are overtaking our pop culture and they're being fed to our children, do we have the right sort of relationship understanding our kids in 2022 that we had when I graduated high school in 1984? And add into that the dopamine spike that happens so often now. We're all addicted to that dopamine spike. And what I mean by that is when you go on social media and you post a picture and somebody gives you a thumbs up or likes it or comments on it, you feel this quick, you know, sort of euphoric feeling from a dopamine spike and you want more of that. Then you go back and if somebody says something negative, it amplifies that feeling as well. We know that this bad guy, the alleged bad guy, and I'm not going to say his name. You'll notice I haven't said his name. Other news outlets are saying his name. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm not going to give this guy the notoriety nor the fame he was hoping to gain. But the news reports show this guy posted on social media the guns, what he wanted to do. He also was direct messaging people he didn't even know on like Instagram and saying, hey, elementary school kids are in trouble in real life. I'm serious. Watch what I'm going to do. Now, we also know that the piece of garbage at Parkland, Florida, 4 years ago now, posted on YouTube that he wanted to be a school shooter. We know that he had 36 different contacts with police, and the FBI was aware of him. Still, somehow, he goes and kills 17 people. I don't understand. It's as if we have been forced through the divisive politics of this country and the attack on the Judeo-Christian founding of the country. We've been forced to not even talk to each other anymore. Talk to your neighbors. Listen to your kids. Monitor their online activity. People often would say, you know, violent video games beget violent kids. And I've argued, man, I've argued till I'm blue in the face. That is not true. A violent video game is just pixels on a screen. It can't possibly be changing people's mind. In fact, I've been playing video games my entire life, but I'm 55 years old. And when I was graduating high school in 1984, we didn't have the internet. If it existed, we didn't know much about it. It really came into play probably in the early 90s with CompuServe and Prodigy, and AOL showed up soon thereafter. It'd been in place since the late 60s, but we didn't know anything about it as regular Americans. It became this public thing into the early 90s. Then the late 90s, it really started taking off. And then into the 2000s, forget about it. Everybody was on there. Facebook was all anybody could talk about. Post your pictures of your friends, your neighbors, who's the hot chick, who's a good-looking dude. I mean, that's what we did. And then the likes, and who wants to be your friend, and then who said what about what you said about some issue, and who's arguing all night. Look, I used to do this. I would argue all night, but I wasn't conditioned from a young age to rely on the internet for my information. I wasn't conditioned from a young age to get that dopamine spike from somebody giving a thumbs up on my picture. You've got kids. This guy was 18. Some reports say 19. He's a guy who's born after the year 2000. He's born probably on a device from as early as he can get his hands on it. He's on a device seeking some sort of affirmation from people who might not even be real. They might be bots on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever. But we have to start really utilizing our brains as parents, as community leaders, to, again, bring the community together and say, look, we agree on about 80% of stuff. We can argue about the other 20, but let's all be community members and neighbors. That's the first and foremost thing. And report something when you hear it. Now, the lady that this guy was direct messaging, she's not at fault here. She didn't do it. He did it. He's a bad guy. Really bad guy. I'm glad he's dead. I wish he would have been dead before 21 innocent people died. But having said that, report it. I got a guy who, out of the blue, is sending me messages on the internet saying he wants to become a school shooter for elementary school kids. They're going to get it. Watch. You'll see soon what I'm going to do. Report that, man. Do it now. You know, right after 9/11, what was the policy? See something, say something. It's like we went away from that. Why aren't we seeing something and saying something? What exactly is it that's stopping us from saying something? Is it that we'll feel guilty if there was really nothing going on? We're afraid somebody will call us racist if the person happens to be so-called of color. Are we out of line because, you know, I'm just going to not look at that, and if I don't look at it, it'll go away? There's a video that was being posted today. I can't remember who posted it on Twitter, where there's some guy acting like a nut job, wearing like tights and a half shirt, jumping around a subway in New York City. And he sits down next to a woman. She attempts to get up and move, and he grabs her by the hair and keeps her there. And everybody else in the subway car does nothing. In fact, the person videotaping it does nothing but videotape it. You ever see these videos where there's some fight between students? Everybody's around, they're holding up video cameras, their phones. Whereas in my day, we would jump in and stop it. Or teachers would, or the school police officer would. Now they're trying to get the next viral video. Why? Because you get the dopamine spike. You feel good about yourself for a second. You did something out. That went viral. Do I want my stuff to be seen by a lot of people? You bet. I work hard. I want to bring you the great interviews I can, the song parodies that I do. I want to bring you the humor that I do, the monologues that I do. I want you to go and see it because that's my work. That's my job. But if a few people see it, as much as that makes me unhappy, it's not going to make me think to myself, the world hates me. Let me direct message a stranger and say I'm going to go shoot people. Because if I did that, I would expect somebody to report me. So often you find out, and my good friend Andy Pollack made reference to this earlier. He said there are studies that he's seen that say 50% of these school shooters, these massacre bringers, have some psychological issue and have been through some psychological evaluation. This also goes back to releasing people from insane asylums. There should be treatment for people who are not mentally able or capable of being in society. And I can make a good argument that anybody who ends up doing a school shooting or a grocery store shooting or a mall shooting or a massacre in Aurora, Colorado, or running over people in Waukesha, Wisconsin because they're white and you're black, I can make the argument that they're all mentally ill. So why are they in society? Why aren't they getting the proper treatment? Why aren't we identifying them? Do you see the separation I'm talking about? The separation that is put in place generally by politicians and leaders, generally, I'm going to say it, on the left, like Obama's the great separator, right? He said white people hated black people, were a racist country. Just yesterday, he tweeted out that systemic racism lives in America and police officer, you know, killed George Floyd and so on. The guy's still dividing as he's building his fourth house or something, as he's worth multiple millions of dollars, as he was elected president of the United States in the systemically racist country. Somehow the black dude was elected president twice. We have people continuing to divide us. We as a people need to unite and remind government that we want them to protect our kids. If you're going to make sure that you take my property tax money and pay for the school district, the government isn't doing its job. They aren't. They think their job is to gain more power. You gain more power by dividing people. That's what they're doing. We have to identify kids. I'm going to give you some advice. Are you a parent? Are you a grandparent? If you've got some kid 2 years old on a device, get them off. Because I believe, and I think studies will show, that you're rewiring that person's brain to have an alternative reality. Get them off the device. You want your kids to be on a device, and they're before they're even 10 years old, half hour a day, take it away. Once they're a teenager, they think the phone is vital. That's your phone. You pay for the service. You make them put it on the table. Make them put it on the countertop at 8 o'clock every night. You're done. I want you to go do your homework, watch TV with the family, whatever it happens to be. You have to take charge. You have to notice what they're looking at. You have to notice what it is that they're playing, what it is that they're saying, how they're acting. Because when they're still young, under 10, and even right before puberty, you might have an ability to help them get through whatever it is that they're dealing with, as long as they're talking to you and that you're part of a team that's making sure this kid grows up to be healthy and happy. Because once they get to be 18, 19 years old, now they're adults. And now you might not undo what's been done. And you have to speak out against those who are attacking Judeo-Christian values that we have here. This is a Judeo-Christian country. I don't care what you think about what I just said. It's fact. Those who signed the Declaration of Independence were either deists, they believed in God, or Christians, they believed in Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Does that mean that you can't be something else? Of course not. The First Amendment actually says you're free to worship as you want, man. And we're not going to pass a law in Congress that'll stop you. And we're not going to establish a religion either, but you can't deny that our country is founded on Judeo-Christian values, morals, and mores. Because it was. It's based on the Ten Commandments and the Magna Carta. Go read those things if you don't think they're religious. They are. Yet we try to pretend because we are a government that's forced to allow us to worship however we want, that makes us an overtly secular country, and God should be thrown out. We should have some drag queen twerk for kindergartners. That's what we should have. Or somebody talk to 4, 5, 6-year-olds about transitioning, or that your gender isn't really your gender, and sometimes the doctor makes a mistake. We have to go back to that value system that worked well in this country. As I said, guns, means of death, bombs, cars, we've had those for a long time now in this country. But we weren't seeing the mass murder like we're seeing now, because there's something that has shifted in our value system and how we see human life. I think the last thing I want to say about this, it is not ironic, it is hypocritical to see the let's kill any unborn child that we want left, 600,000 dead babies a year. It's pretty hypocritical for them to say that the right somehow doesn't honor or love human life. That's ridiculous. We have to put those on the far fringes of either side aside, and we have to join together as an American community, and maybe, just maybe, we could take positive steps to stop what we saw in Uvalde from happening again. 1-800-941-SHAWN, 1-800-941-7326. Joe Pags in for Sean Hannity. Stay right here.
John Kerry, making America green, one Learjet liberal flight at a time. You just can't make this stuff up. Sean Hannity is on right now.
Glad to have you on the Sean Hannity Show. It's Joe Pags in for Sean today. Go to joepags.com. You want to send me an email? Scroll down to the bottom. Just click on contact. You can also see all the social media there. I really, really, it's always a privilege. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, James. Thank you, Jason. I really appreciate coming in and sitting in for Sean. It's always an honor. Going to go to the phone lines here in a moment. If you can't get through the phone lines, I've been very busy all day, stop by the website and make sure you shoot me an email. It's 800-941-SHAWN, 800-941-7326. Let me go to line one and say hello and welcome to Rick, who is in Florida. Rick, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Living the dream, man. Talk to me.
Hey, I appreciate your producer. She's been very patient with me. And, Joe, you just covered about 80% of what I wanted to talk about Right on spot. I agree with you 100%.
Thanks.
We've got to get to the core value. As I talk to the kids, I've been doing this for 9 years as a substitute teacher. I've been in front of over 35,000 students, and I love what I do, but I tell the students, like what you just said, I'm here to educate you, empower you, and entertain you with the facts.
Yeah.
And what happened in Columbine, what happened at Marjorie Douglas in Parkland, tragic. And at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, tragic.
Yeah.
In listening to Andy Pollack, everybody is right on spot except for one thing. We need to be able to not politicize it, step across the aisle, and work together as a team of the United States of America,
Undivided. I could not agree. Hey, listen, Rick, I could not agree more. See, the bottom line is there is no Democrat that I've ever met that wants to see dead kids at school. There's no Republican I've ever met that wants to see dead kids in school. So when you start casting aspersions immediately like the Castro brothers did, like Beto O'Rourke did, like Obama seems to be doing. I mean, that's not okay. There's something wrong with you if you think that one side wants dead kids. That's not the case. And by the way, if you're following me on Twitter and you're trying to call out something that I said, make sure you listen to what I said. I said I used to think violent video games didn't play a role, but kids are growing up now with a device in their hands from the time they're 1 or 2 years old, and that becomes the reality. Make sure you listen to what I say. I don't mind you disagreeing, but make sure that you're disagreeing because you heard me. Arizona, Jim, about a minute. Let's go.
Yeah, how's it going?
Living the dream. You've got less than a minute now. Let's go.
All right. So, well, I'm going to take more than a minute. But
I'm going to let you go then. I don't have more than a minute. Let me go to James, who's in Colorado. Got 1 minute for you, James. Come on.
Hey Joe. Just real quick, if my child gets killed at school by an active shooter, who can I sue?
Who can you sue? Well, I think that the kids would the safety of the kids, I think, should be guaranteed by the school system, which is paid for by us, the taxpayers, which is procured. That money is procured by the government. So I think the government should be who you can sue. But I would rather not worry about who I'm suing. I'd rather send my kid to school and have her come home in one piece and have dinner with us. That's what I want to focus on. How do we fix the problem that we're actively looking at right now? Victor Avila was in a gunfight with a drug cartel in Mexico. His partner, Jaime Zapata, was killed in that gunfight. He was injured. He's an expert on the border. He's an expert on safety. He's an expert on how to keep innocent people out of harm's way. We talked to him about what changes we can make and what he knows about the shooting in Uvalde when we come back. It is 1-800-941-SEAN, 1-800-941-7326. Joe Pags in for Sean Hannity. Stay here.
Jobs. Joe Biden can't spell it, and he can't keep them for the American people. Check out the Sean Hannity Jobs Forum today. Now, Hannity's on Coast to Coast.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this guy back. He's a former federal agent. He, of course, was in a shootout with a drug cartel in Mexico where his partner, Jaime Zapata, was killed. He was shot by guns that actually came over the border during Fast and Furious. It's Victor Avila. Victor, how are you? Good to see you again, my friend.
Doing good, Joe. Thanks for having me today.
You know, I thought of getting a hold of you right away. You're a law enforcement guy. You're a guy whose job had been to keep us safe, to keep the country safe, our sovereignty in order. And for God's sakes, Victor, we've got to figure something out to keep our kids safe. And knowing what we saw yesterday took me right back to 1999. Columbine happened, Victor, 23 years ago. How is it? I mean, just tell me, as a law enforcement guy, a guy who would give your life for this country, how is it that we can't protect our kids yet?
I'll tell you, I went through a lot of emotions yesterday, anxiety and all this stuff that as we see this happening, especially when it comes to innocent children. And yes, I will pray. Yes, I will send my condolences to the family, because right. I think we need more of that. As a matter of fact, I think it's a combination of a lot of things that's happening in our country. It's a cultural thing. We've had guns around for many, many centuries in this country. And I don't believe that's the problem. I think that the problem is a lot of things, the fatherless home, the culture of the left that I think is pushing our children in a different direction. The sense of God and community and family that I think we need to get back to basics. And of course, a physical, as a law enforcement officer, I do believe in physical security. I do think that in hardening some of these schools is a good thing to do, and having more school resource officers and highly trained officers, maybe even teachers. But we need to do everything to send the signal to these crazy lunatics out there that you're not going to come to a school. It's no longer going to be a soft target or a vulnerable target for you to come and take advantage of.
It is Victor Avila. He's got a great book out. He's the author of this wonderful book. If you haven't gotten it yet, it's Agent Under Fire, agentunderfirebook.com, to go find out more about that. So what you said culturally, I want to get into that in a little while, because you're right, but that's a long-term thing. We have to take the long road to try to get our value system back. We're a Judeo-Christian society here in America. We're not acting like it anymore. In fact, we've got radicalization being pushed on our kids in public schools that you and I are forced to pay for. So we can get into that. We can also get into mental health. Why are these people out, and why are they available to get anywhere near these so-called soft targets? But let's start from where you got to third, which is, how do we harden these targets? How do we harden these schools, these grocery stores, these, you know, movie theaters, to the point to where I still feel free and liberated? I'm not going to jail to go watch a movie, or I'm not sending my kid to jail to go to school. How do we do that and keep some sense of freedom from, you know, these bad guys are getting in somehow? If we had a one entry spot in a school, if there was, you know, some sort of bulletproof glass in a vestibule between you and the door to get to the kids, maybe that would work. How do you foresee doing that? If I said, okay, Victor, you're the guy and you're going to fix what the problem is at schools, let's start at schools. What would you do specifically to the physical building that they go to?
The first thing I would do, and this is something that I've already looked in some businesses that already starting to develop this kind of technology. And this technology that I'm talking about is the detection of weapons as someone is approaching a campus with a weapon. This type of technology recognizes this weapon. This technology recognizes this person, a weapon versus a bat versus a stick. It recognizes the actual weapon, somebody coming in, sensors, camera systems, sophisticated camera systems, just like we use, like you said, in a lot of other venues. Why can't we have those installed in our school systems? These camera systems, by the way, would be linked to the local police departments and sheriff's departments, where they would be alerted in a moment's instant, immediately, if there was a sensor of something that goes wrong, where someone can be able to hit that button immediately. And it's all about response time. Yeah. I know that all of this is good and we should try to do it, and I want to do it. It might not prevent 100% to do it, but it will save lives in the long run. We want the response to be quicker, and we don't have to rely on hopefully somebody passing by to do it. Security systems, sensors. And it sounds a little bit like I talk a little bit about the border, but that's kind of the same of technology that we're looking at here. Technology that will assist these law enforcement officers. And also, I would say, resources. A lot of these small communities, and even in the big cities, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, by example, where I live, They don't have the complete resources to be able to do that. They don't have the networking established with police departments or SROs or additional officers to have to patrol. And so we, if you put all that together, they're left open and vulnerable to these type of attacks. But if we start hardening these systems, not necessarily with the physical doors, and I'm not thinking of going as far as maybe putting a metal detector. I'm thinking about ensuring that those self-locking doors and stuff like that would come to something that we're going to have to rely on and make something as a normal day,
right,
and keep our kids safe and send our kids knowing that they're going to be safe in school.
Victor Avila, he is a former federal agent. He's got a book out called Agent Under Fire. Go and get this book. You know, it's interesting. I hadn't heard about this technology that you're talking about. I'm a guy who's allowed to carry a gun. So if I'm walking up to the school and I didn't leave the gun in the car, and you can't have guns on that campus, this technology would see me coming and then alert the school and lock the doors? How exactly does it work? It would know that I had a firearm?
This technology actually, with the video system, detects a firearm. It would detect, for example, a bag that is left unattended for a long time. Okay. It would detect a vehicle that's being parked out of place for a certain amount of time. So it detects, it has a lot of algorithms that you'll be able to put into the system. And the best part about this technology is that it would then work in conjunction with the local police department and sheriff's department, as they would actually even have an immediate live view from within the cameras, the exterior cameras, interior cameras, to see exactly if there's an active shooter.
Wow. It's technology that we should certainly not only look into, but we should get it. We have all this money to send overseas to go secure borders in Ukraine and so on. We don't have any money for our kids in school. $68 billion a year at the Department of Education, that none of which appears to be spent on security. What else would you do? I mean, when I see at a school this is a gun-free zone, if I'm a bad guy, that tells me there are no guns here. Shouldn't we stop advertising that we're helpless and we can't defend ourselves?
That's absolutely true. I mean, I want to do the opposite, put big old signs and say, as a matter of fact, we have a bunch of guns here. And if in fact you're going to threaten any of our children, we were going to respond with lethal force. This is the times that we live in, and we need highly qualified school resource officers, police officers, highly trained in active shooter situations. We need teachers and administrators trained in these type of situations as well. Once you have these individuals in every campus at every level, not just the high schools or junior high schools, but obviously in the elementary schools as well. Once you have that type of training, you're sending the signal out there to these nuts that, hey, you're going to come in here, you're going to be faced with gunfire when you come with gunfire. We're going to face fire with fire.
Yeah. AgentUnderFiredBook.com. Go there and get his book. It's Victor Avila. You know, what's interesting about that argument is that I, of course, trust teachers with my children or my grandchildren 8 or 9 hours a day. We trust them with making them productive Americans. We trust them with educating them. We trust them to let them go to the bathroom when they have to and feed them when they're hungry. But we can't trust them to defend them. And the argument that you get from people that are against teachers being armed, a well-armed, well-educated, well-trained teacher with a firearm might stop the guy before he kills 19 innocent people or 23 or 22 innocent people. But the argument seems to be, yeah, but what if the student gets the gun from him? I don't understand that. It just doesn't make any sense. That's like saying police shouldn't have firearms either, because what if I get the gun away from the cop? Which is not something that happens often. It happens, but not that often. Does that argument make any sense to you, that we can't have teachers that we trust in every other aspect of our kids' lives? We can't allow them to defend them in school.
That's a horrible argument, and I agree with you that there will always be a staffer, an administrator, a teacher, a coach, someone that will be that will step up to want to be. I'm not saying that we have to force the teachers to have to be right, trained, but if they want to be, and I'm sure we could find those teachers, because you know what? They already give their lives. You saw the ones, that two of them that gave their lives protecting these kids anyway.
Yes.
So they are really willing to give their lives for these children. Let's give them some more resources, some more tools. And one of those tools is a firearm.
And changing the laws. I mean, Victor, I don't know what law would have stopped this guy yesterday. So changing the laws doesn't make any sense to me either, simply because it's against the law to kill innocent people in a school. So already the person knows he's committing a crime. Already, you know, allegedly he shot his grandmother too. So here's a guy that doesn't care about laws. Laws apply to people like you and me that follow them. It doesn't apply to the bad guy that will go in and shoot up a grocery store because he doesn't like black people. Do you think there's any law we can pass right now that suddenly changes things like what happened yesterday?
Absolutely not. And I had this discussion, very passionate discussion, with my family yesterday about this. It's not the gun. and it's not the laws. You could pass 1,000 laws right now and it wouldn't apply to the bad guy. The bad guy is always going to have a gun and he's going to get access to the gun. Whether he gets it legally or illegally, the bad guy's going to get it. What you do with these laws is you actually restrict the law abiding citizen from protecting themselves and enforcing their Second Amendment rights. And so I strongly believe that it's not the weapon here. It's a lot of other issues, mental health and anything that we've been talking about. But training a lot of people that go out there and buy guns, they need to be trained as well. Not just because you could carry one, you're just going to get one. You need adequate training to do as well, right, to respond to use it. But it doesn't matter. Laws are not going to change this. It's something that is an argument that falls flat on its face because the bad guy, the gang member, the cartel member, all these individuals will continue to have them no matter what law you pass.
AgentUnderFireBook.com. It's Victor Avila, former federal agent. What's interesting is we've done about 11 minutes now, Victor, and we haven't talked about politics at all because we don't have to. This is not political. But then you see somebody who is a political, you know, animal like a Beto O'Rourke, who, or like Julian Castro, who could not wait to tweet yesterday about changing gun laws. I don't understand why we have to do that. You had a get together in Uvalde today where you had the governor, the lieutenant governor, the U.S. senators. You had people who were on the left and on the right up on the stage just trying to get information out to families that are just now finding out that unbelievably their child was one that was killed yesterday. So instead of gathering together, you got a guy who thinks that he should be the next governor of Texas show up and try to shout down the governor. Does that help anything? Is there a political solution to this, or do we have to come together like a community and say, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, let's save the kids?
It just goes to show that the left is despicable and dishonorable in the sense that they won't even allow the family members, not even 24 hours, to mourn the loss of their loved ones, their children in this case. And in this case, Robert Francis O'Rourke takes advantage to go in there and blame the governor of Texas for this horrific act. He's out of line. And I'm glad I agree with the mayor of Uvalde and what he called them, an SOB, because yeah. I have some few choice words for O'Rourke myself. Being from El Paso, Texas, him and I could be very, very different as a conservative Hispanic American. And where he comes from does not signify my values and most of the values of the people of El Paso, Texas. Yet he comes and spews this. And really what he is a coward, I think. He's a coward for doing that disrespected the family, law enforcement, and everyone that is trying to abide by this horrific event that he has absolutely no clue. This man has never been to a crime scene. He has never seen what this carnage has done to this families and the responding officers and detectives that have to investigate these crimes. These are horrific scenes that they actually have to deal with themselves. And this guy put all of that aside because he wants to be governor of Texas.
It's pretty sick. I mean, when I saw it, I've been watching this guy for a while. He seems to think he's owed the governor's job or the U.S. Senate seat or something. It's very strange, the sense of entitlement that he has. But I'm glad you brought up that you're both from the same place. I think the American people, even outside of Texas, think that he somehow does depict what El Paso is. Liberal, far left, no fence, open border. When I know that it's predominantly Hispanic in El Paso, predominantly Catholic or Christian in El Paso, predominantly conservative values-wise people. Why does he get away with bringing in outside California money and New York money and Chicago money to try to win the governor's office when he really doesn't represent somebody like you who's from the same place?
It's his ideology, this liberalism, progressivism, his globalism agenda that I think is destroying our country. It's the open borders part of it. They all want it. And remember what Beto said just when he was running for president, that he was going to take everybody's guns and he was coming to get your AR-15.
Right.
And then as he started running for governor, he said he's not.
Right.
So now he wants to do it again. He has no idea of the values of Texans in this state. And he's just a dangerous individual and a coward, and I'll say it to his face.
And he would say it to his face. That's Victor Avila. He is a former federal agent. He is a guy who took bullets for this country and lost his partner in Jaime Zapata. There's much more to that interview. You can check it out on my website, joepags.com. We appreciate him coming on. We'll take some phone calls when we come back right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
Information download.
Sean Hannity and the breaking news you might have missed today with Sean's insider information. Sean Hannity.
Always a pleasure to sit in for my mentor, my good friend Sean Hannity. I appreciate the trust. I appreciate being able to talk to this incredible audience. My name is Joe Pags. I'll be on the same station that you're listening to on many in many cities. If you don't get me next, you can go to joepags.com, click on Listen Live or Watch Now. You can watch it. But either way, we have to come together as a country, as a country with values, to protect our kids and innocent people at shopping malls and grocery stores. That's just the bottom line, and I think we can do it together. I appreciate you hanging out. Thanks to Jason. I appreciate his help today. And again, Linda and Sean and everybody else, James, for the support and the trust. We got to get out of here for now. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
More Than a Movie is back with season two. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.